What's up, sales culture family? I'm Joe Lemon, and I'm going to take a moment to cheat here because I got content I'm building up and stockpiling it. And I'm going to introduce you guys to some other show, The Real Value Exchange. If you haven't checked it out, please go subscribe and tell a friend about it. But I'm going to share an episode that I did with Olivia Wong. She's a business strategist, and she works with Fortune 50 companies to small businesses. And we just run through the gamut of like tons of tactics and actionable steps that small businesses can move on now. Like, honestly, one of the coolest things to think about is that, you know, if you were doing something face-to-face, now's the time to pivot and think of something, and you should be launching out a B2C type service within three days or so. If it's B2B, give yourself a week max, but test, man, get out there. Olivia's going to jump into all the steps to make sure that you guys do it right. And with that said, let's get into it.
Ready to enhance your sexual wellness and satisfaction? Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys typically don't confront. 50% of men over the age of 40 experience some amount of erectile dysfunction, and that increases with age. Now, get treatment in the privacy of your own home. Visit AbundanceHealthForMen.com today and schedule a 15-minute consultation. That's AbundanceHealthForMen.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Season 3 of the Real Value Exchange Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Lemon. And I really hope you guys are healthy and you guys are staying safe throughout these crazy, crazy times. And so I got to be honest, too. I was not really sure how to use this platform anymore because obviously it's called The Real Value Exchange. But I want to talk about all types of things that are going on in my life. So I operate in healthcare, which the sector that I'm in, which is capital equipment, is being thrashed right now with everything that's going on. But I also love biohacking, and I love talking about sales and marketing. And so I have another podcast called Sales Culture Podcast, where I just dive in deep on those. And I was like, should I still talk about those things on this platform, or should I keep it mainly healthcare focused? And then I found the whole silver lining, which is just pretty much telling stories. So that's what I'll be doing, because that's the ultimate exchange, right? Is us just doing work with each other and us sharing each other's experiences. So that's what I'm going to leverage all of Season 3 about. And I want to get into it by giving you guys some real world, like practical and tactical things that you guys can do now during these crazy times. So I have Olivia Wong with me today, and she is a business strategist. She's worked with Fortune 100 companies. She also works with small businesses, and the tactics that she's going to give you are game changing. I pulled so much from it. So I literally found out about her whenever I was looking for webinars, you know, all these different Zoom meeting invites that you catch, and her slide deck had the most content that was relevant to my audience. So I pressed into it, and then I had to bring her onto the show. I mean, we're going to dive into how you can just keep moving right now, opposed to just avoiding failure, changing that whole paradigm about how you think about these opportunities and launching any type of digital service. So like, and as you just heard, today's sponsor is AbundanceHealthForMen.com. I'm really excited to be partnering up with these guys. And, you know, it's doing things that are different, right? Like on-demand health services, and that's what they're into. So please go check them out. Please support them. You can go to AbundanceHealthForMen.com and you can learn all about what they're doing there. And, you know, honestly, it's just finding ways to operate during this time that you can move quick, launch now, right? Test your idea with a small sample size, get some immediate feedback, make those corrections, and then relaunch. Because as of right now, as you guys know, this is the great equalizing moment. Nobody knows exactly what to do. Nobody has the right idea. I don't care if you're a Fortune 50 company or if you only made 50 grand as a startup last year, right? It doesn't matter. We're all being impacted, and we all are forced to just take mediocre guesses about how to navigate this landscape. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Olivia is amazing. You guys are going to get so much from this. Please link up with her. She does webinars and she has classes online. So there's a lot more that you guys can go in deeper with this, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. So with that, let's get into it. There's nothing more that's needed to be said. Go support my actual sponsor. I want to keep these guys around, and go support Olivia if you're looking for some good strategies about how you can pivot your business. So, all right.
I'm super excited to have Olivia Wong with me because I literally joined your webinar, I guess it was last week, I think, and I saw your PowerPoint presentation previously, and I was like, whoa, there's value here. My audience needs this, especially all my small business guys. I mean, because you jammed the pack full of not just like, you know, inspiration, but there's like a strategy. And that's what I think people really need. Like that, like after the hype wears off, what do you do? Right? And so Olivia, welcome to the Real Value Exchange Podcast.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm really excited to be here. I love everything about sales and marketing and giving practical advice because there's just so much noise out there in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are trying to posture and present themselves as the people who know it all. And I'm here to say, I don't know what the answers are. Anyone who tells you they know what the answers are in this post-COVID-19 world, they're delusional because the world is changing. And the way that we need to market and sell ourselves to our customers, whether they're in B2B or B2C, is rapidly evolving. So I'm really happy to be here. I've got so many great stories to share, and I'm just really humbled that you thought of me and wanted to invite me on the show. So thank you.
Are you kidding me? Like after I saw a piece of that deck and then I joined the webinar, I'm like, please, hopefully she'll say yes. because honestly, like, all right, so let's kind of get into it a little bit because there's a lot of people that are trying to find different hats to put on and trying to take on different roles. And I respect the hell out of that. I think it's a great place that we all should be looking for. But a lot of times what they're doing is hyping me up, which is nice. Sometimes you need a boost, especially during these times. Having the boost is phenomenal. But then, you know, you kind of want to know what's next. And when I saw your actual content, I was like, oh, there's action steps that we can deploy like tonight, or even let's say I can have something launched in a couple of days. But before we get into the strategy, people have to know you. So let's talk about your origin story. How'd you even get into this business? Like, talk about Prototype Labs. I mean, let's go.
All right. Wow. So my hero story in 2 minutes. Okay. I'm going to bring you on this hero journey. Yeah. So the very first time I ever made money, I created a hot dog stand. I was in fifth grade. I was maybe 12 years old. And we had this competition at my school in San Francisco, which is where I was born and raised. Everyone read the book Pushcart Wars. So it was our job to come out with like a street vendor kind of bodega style business. And I decided I wanted to sell hot dogs. So I went to Costco. No, sorry, Smart and Final, which is like the smaller version of Costco at the time, with my mom. We bought all of these hot dogs, the, you know, the condiments. My dad helped me build a cart because he does woodwork. Oh, and I brought my cart to school. I was super boss. And guess how much money I made in 2 days? Just two lunches at an elementary school. I made over $200.
What?
The teacher, yeah, I was selling lukewarm hot dogs. I don't know why everyone is so interested in this, but I sold hot dogs because everybody else didn't sell food. I can't remember what the other students did, but there was nothing that was like consumable.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold these hot dogs. I remember my teacher said she would prefer to give up her job and go into Golden Gate Park in San Francisco and just start selling hot dogs because my hourly rate was better than hers. So that's when I knew I was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I was so entrepreneurial when I was young. I thought I wanted to be a bank. You know, when people ask you, teachers ask, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be a bank. I didn't even know that wasn't like, I didn't understand. I didn't understand that wasn't a profession.
I just want to be the bank. Come to me.
I just want to, I just want the money. Another really crucible moment in my life was I came home from college 1 year, went back to San Francisco. I went to school at UCSB. So anyone who knows that, I was in Santa Barbara. So beautiful. Yeah. Like private beach. It's glorious.
It's ridiculous.
Cotton candy skies. It's where I want to be right now, but I'm not. I'm actually in Vancouver, Canada, which is where I live. Yeah. So
question really quick. So which neighborhood did you grow up in the Bay?
The Outer Richmond.
Outer Richmond. Okay, cool. So yeah. So
Seacliff.
You know,
not Seacliff, because we weren't rich enough to live in Seacliff. I lived like on the outside of Seacliff, and then I told everybody I lived in Seacliff so they wouldn't mess with me.
Yeah,
they wouldn't want to come over because they would feel out of place. So I was like, yep, that's right. You don't want to come here.
I mean, because I was in the Bay like literally right whenever the actual cruise ship came in like and like landed, whenever they had the first big, you know, very first big drop off. And so that was like, I guess, March 10th or so. And it was a ghost town. And I've been going to the Bay now. I go there pretty often, at least once a month almost. And it's crazy to see how much has changed. Like it's flipping. And I mean, over the past, at least the times I've been going there the past 6-7 years, it's wild to kind of see that. And the fact that you were such a hustler back then speaks high volumes to kind of like being like a part of that actual movement that was happening, even though maybe you weren't with like Zucks and the rest of the guys kind of launching Facebook or whatever. But the Bay is like a straight melting pot that I don't think people really understand until you get there. And it's like a contagious culture, man. So for you to be selling hot dogs and making a couple hundo, it's not bad. Respect.
I mean, I wasn't selling sass at the time, but it did the job. Yeah. But I hear you. The Bay, you know, on a tangential story, is rapidly changing. I mean, I go back there sometimes. I roll up to a house party, mm-hmm. and there's impromptu brainstorms happening in the next room about space. I'm like, do we really have to talk about this right now? Exactly. You just go everywhere you go in the Bay Area, people are working really hard on their side hustle. Your Uber driver, your Starbucks barista, the person that's driving the Muni bus, like you go up, you roll up, you have a conversation with them, and you find out that they have like three or four different projects that they're running. And they have a B2B business and a B2C business and a podcast. And it's amazing. It is a cultural mecca for innovation. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I would have to imagine as a kid kind of seeing some of those and being a part of house parties where in one room people are, you know, drinking and dancing or whatever. And then in the very next room, somebody else has like a quick slide deck out, you know, and it's like, I mean, it really has to inspire people to really think big. And so like, even with what you're doing now, I'd imagine it had to kind of lay some foundational work for you a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I didn't actually understand what Silicon Valley culture was until I was more of an adult, because when you grow up in San Francisco, that's your hometown. Yeah. You don't really want to stay in your hometown. It's the same hometown experience that you all have, no matter if you're from New York or you're from a small town in Kansas. You don't want to stay there. All your friends from high school are there. They haven't changed. They're still hanging out, smoking weed. I mean, now that it's legal, it's fine. We all do it, right? Yeah, like exactly. Even all the parents are. It's a different world. But I didn't really get into the culture of what Silicon Valley is until a little bit later when I was in my early 20s. But the thing that I learned is you have to say and yes. There's the number one rule of improv. It exists in Silicon Valley and it exists in San Francisco. For example, I said sure to this invite to watch Hidden Figures, which is a female empowerment woman, a movie about three amazing Black women who led NASA, mm-hmm. helped man land on the moon with their statistics and their mathematician brains. Then at that event, I got invited to a dinner. So I said yes to that for somebody's startup. I met somebody at that dinner. They invited me to a lounge. And then a couple of like steps forward, I was sitting right next to the first female lead investor at Sequoia, having ramen and drinking a Pokemon whiskey cocktail. It was like, how did I even get here? And it's so funny because I was having this like casual conversation with her. And there's this group of 24-year-olds who look like they're my little brothers in a frat house back at college. Yeah. And they're having this, like, they're pitching some type of early cancer detection hardware and software to her. And it's just the weirdest world. Like, where does that happen? Now I live in Vancouver. It's not the jam here. We like to not talk about work outside of work. It's just a totally different culture. But SF is my heart and it's so unique and it's so fascinating. But that's actually not why you brought me on the show, to talk about San Francisco.
No, it's true.
Let's talk about my story.
It's true. Please. Let's get back to the story.
Okay. So the story. So I'm back home, early 20s in San Francisco, and I see this guy who is homeless. He's been homeless in my neighborhood for years. I kind of know him. He looks like Santa Claus. His name is Clive, now that I know. And I just decided I wanted to help him one day. So I went home, I packed a duffel bag full of all of the things I think a homeless person or a houseless person would need. Medicine, books, like a bit of cash, like water bottles, socks, like you name it. And it's kind of heavy. I walk down my block. I'm walking down Gary Street and I go find him, or he's usually sitting in front of either Green Apple Books or this grocery store in front of 25th Avenue. And you know, I'm a real native because I know those things. So yeah. If anyone's listening and they're from San Francisco, they're like, all right, she's real.
Respect. Yeah.
So I walk up to Clive. I didn't know his name at the time. And I kind of stutter. I'm like, so, hey, he goes, hi. And I'm like, I made this for you. Like, would you want it? It's a bag. It's full of all these things. And I'm really nervous at this time. Like, you should feel my heart. It is pulsing. My hands are sweaty. I don't know. I'm getting so nervous, but it's this moment where in my head, I had a picture of how I wanted to serve this person. So I put all of the things that I thought could really make a difference in this person's life, and I just gave it to him. And I was like, here, please take this. And he said no.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is so embarrassing. Like, I feel so rejected. I didn't even have the language or the skills at the time to ask why. So I turned around, I walked myself home, and I carried this duffel bag, and then I just like dumped it on the floor, and like I sat there and cried. Mm. And I didn't cry because I was feeling sorry for myself. I cried because I was so frustrated that I didn't understand how to really connect with another person. Like in another world, like, let me use different language. That's my customer, right? Like, I built something in a vacuum. I tried to deliver value. I came up with all of these assumptions and hypotheses around what I thought could work for this person. And then I was just like, here, you need it. This is what you need. Let me sell this to you. Clearly you need nail clippers because you don't have nail clippers. And my big lesson from that was that is not a good way to build or sell or market products in the world or services. No matter if you are trying to make impact in a nonprofit sector or you're in the private sector selling tech products or, you know, medical devices. So that experience led me to go on a odyssey of some sorts to try to understand what are better ways in the world to do this work. Like, how do I actually help and solve people's problems in a way that means something to them? So I came across human-centered design. I came across design thinking. I came across empathy-based research. I came across all of these techniques and approaches that now exist in the world of product design and innovation. Because what I was really critically missing is a script to ask someone, okay, I see this isn't working for you. What can I do to improve? If I were to improve this, what would I change? What's succeeding? What's failing? How could I use what was happening in the moment to say, oh, Clive, like, I noticed that you said no. And, you know, you're sort of shrugging your head and crossing your arms across your chest. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, what's happening? What's going on for you? So fast forward to 2000 and whatever year we're in. It's like so fast, right?
Right,
all
right.
I can think about is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That is like my calendar.
That was a year.
In COVID-19, yeah. Yeah. Like, do you even remember what life was like 3 weeks ago? I don't.
Clueless.
No.
Clueless.
Yeah. I don't know. But fast forward to today, I run a business design and innovation lab. It's called Prototype Thinking Labs. We teach a method that comes from Google X, which is the moonshot factory of Google. It's where they designed things like self-driving cars and Project Loon and Google Glass. This is the moonshot factory where people inside Google called it the Department of Science Fiction because they were always working on something that was a pie in the sky or some type of disruptive innovation. And the methodology that I teach, I am so obsessed with. It's called prototype thinking. It takes the best aspects from approaches like Lean Startup, Google Sprints, design thinking, and human-centered design. And then what we've done is we've combined those techniques with techniques we've developed ourselves to create a really rapid and lightweight an expensive process to testing ideas, prototyping them, getting feedback, and then making real-time adjustments.
Man, that's phenomenal. So, all right, let's kind of back up a little bit. How old were you whenever you were working with Clive? Or talking, I said working. Whenever you had that whole
volunteering my services.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd say like 22, maybe.
That's really cool. I mean, because, you know, it was one of those things where I think that especially around that time frame, if, you know, think about myself here, like we're really insular. Like you're thinking like, how do people view me? How does life work around me? Type of thing. At least that's how I was. And, you know, it's really cool that you were able to kind of pull that away because right now that's what business owners are struggling with. Like that's, especially if they haven't built that whole community already. And that's the part that I was like, oh man, this is valuable stuff because a lot of people have done business face to face and they've excelled, they've been winning, they've had thriving businesses for years or decades, and they haven't done anything online. And so they're like, oh, well, this is what people, I think, bought my product for in person, but online, they don't really understand what they're selling yet, or they don't understand where their value lies with their actual business, or like how they can translate that. So let's kind of dive into it. Like, how do you hack away at this process?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say, if you've tried something to relaunch or iterate or pivot on your business, that is awesome. Keep doing that because the people who take action now are the ones that are going to get inside of their customers' minds and lead the conversation and be the people that their customers trust as this pandemic shakes out and it evolves over the next 1 to 3 to 6 or maybe 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. So that's my first thing. Like, congratulations. It is really hard to take action right now. Do it. The next thing is, it's hard. Like what you just shared with me, a lot of people are struggling with this. Previously, they've done their business face-to-face. I personally did all my business face-to-face. I was a live trainer.
Same, yeah.
You, yeah, right? Like live podcasts.
Yep. I was in sales, so I was doing it face-to-face to everyone, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And you knew how to do that. You were optimized for it. You had a lot of experience. We have years of experience in our face-to-face industries. And then all of a sudden overnight, the whole world goes virtual and we can't have those experiences anymore. And so we're in a position where we're forced to convert. We're forced to transition onto this digital Zoom world,
yeah.
Right? Where yeah. Everyone is living on it and we're all kind of burnt out from trying to be on Zoom all day. Like, how many Zoom events have you been on this week? How many hours have you spent?
I mean, so honestly, the very first time you had your webinar, I had a double booking for Zoom. So I was like, all right, yeah. I went to this wine, like happy hour party on Zoom. And then on the very next day, but yeah. Tons of them. Let me say that.
And that's hard, you know, because we're in this position where now we have to go back to our customers and say, hey, I know that we've done business together and we've done it face to face and it's worked and you like my service or my product, but now I am going to try this thing online that I've never done. I'm going to ask you to take time out of your schedule to do it with me and you're going to pay money for it. And you know what? It might not work. And that is not a conversation anybody wants to have, because as people who are high performers, as people who are perfectionists or people who even deeply care about serving their customers, mm-hmm. we don't want to let them down. We don't want to be that person that messes up the Zoom call, that confuses, you know, the content because they don't have visual cues. Because when you give a webinar, hello, you don't see people's faces. Yeah. Like, this is a huge problem.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to say, and this is a that I talk about more deeply in the free webinar that obviously you attended and anyone listening can attend, is take a mediocre guess. Do you know why? Because your mediocre guess is the best possible guess that exists on planet Earth right now. Because the world has changed. All of the rules are being rewritten. Everybody is uncertain. Everything that you're uncertain about in your business, your customers are just as uncertain. No one is confident. No one has the awareness of what to do next. But the thing is, you have been in your business for longer than anyone else, right? Mm-hmm. You know your customers. You've had that relationship with your customers. They trust you. And so if you just take a mediocre guess, it doesn't have to be the right guess. You start with that, you launch it, you get some feedback, and then based on what people say, you relaunch it again in a day or in a few hours or a week. You make that cycle very quick. So you're constantly putting something out, getting the feedback back, making those changes, and then launching it again. And a really great example is I started that webinar the Thursday that everything went down. It was the Thursday 3 weeks ago where Trump issued a travel ban, and all of a sudden European countries were quickly responding by creating their own travel bans. And that's really when I feel the world started to take a turn.
Yep.
And yeah, so you know that. Yep. So that webinar, I have never given a webinar before. The last time I tried to give a webinar, I gave it to a company. I gave it to two companies. One was in healthcare. One was the world's largest greeting cards company. And I completely blew both.
Really?
Like, I humiliated myself in front of a team of people who were all sitting, you know, these are like C-level SVPs, like product design innovation leads. They're all sitting behind this computer. I can't see them. I've never done this before. I tried it and I completely blew it because I didn't have the visual cues to know when to move forward, when to ask questions. And I had my notes on this side. I usually never talk with notes. Like, when I speak on a stage, everything comes from the heart or the mind. I've memorized all of my talks. It just comes naturally to me, but doing it on a visual sort of like Zoom platform completely threw me off. Mm-hmm. So I went into creating my first webinar 3 weeks ago with a lot of uncertainty. I had maybe a 20% confidence in myself that I knew what to say, what to put in the webinar, or that it could be actually useful to people. But I did it anyways. Our team spent about 45 minutes building the deck that you saw. We spent 45 minutes building that content because we knew we were only 20% confident. So we have a rule of thumb that you only spend the amount of effort that you are confident. So if you are 100% confident that this is the right design, then you get to spend your 5, 6, 12, 10, 15 hours building out that presentation. But really, for me, I was like 20% confident. If I spent more time trying to work on it, making it polished, trying to flesh it all out, I still would have fallen on my face just as hard, but I would have wasted like 6 hours.
Man, you know, I'm really glad that you're sharing all this, because especially the part that you bombed, like to me, because, you know, like,
man, I've bombed so many things. I could tell you all about the wars I've created from like, my carpet bombing.
Honestly, if you're playing any game, if you're in business, we all have battle wounds. Like, I've had so many bad presentations where you're like, I totally forgot what was the whole next thought, right? And I mean, so, but it happens on a regular basis. It's just not documented. And so I think what's happening too is that people are shifting how they view these failures, because people are beginning to say, you know what? I don't have a great background of the whole ocean view. I'm in my room with like my closet door there, and that's just what's happening, you know? But it's still a great content. I mean, you said you're in a coffin, but it doesn't look like a coffin to me. It looks way better.
I know, a Scandinavian coffin. It's like every vampire's hot dream to be in something like this. I'm at WeWork and they have terrible phone booths. So this is what's up for today.
Dude, it's 10 times better than some of the other combos I've been having. I mean, so what's some advice to help someone get over that hump? The hump of, man, I'm afraid to get out there because I think I got this one shot. I got this one client I want to close. I got to close this client. My rent depends on it, whatever, right? Employee salaries depend on it. What type of thoughts or advice could you provide around that?
People are the most forgiving right now than they'll ever be in your entire life. People are the most charitable with their threshold for messing up, making mistakes, not being perfect than they will ever be in your entire life. I totally humiliated myself in front of the first few charitable batches of people that came to this webinar. I've given the webinar 13 times now. It is drastically better because I've asked for feedback and iterated on that webinar. But honestly, like, no one's going to tell you that you're doing a bad job. As long as you come from a place of really wanting my service, you're trying your best, you can say to your customer, hey, I'm going to try this thing. I know it's really new, but I'm going to be very attentive to your needs. And if it doesn't work, I'll fix it for you. And if that doesn't work, I'll find another way to support you and serve you. But I'm here for you. I'm going to be here for you. You can trust me to evolve with you. I don't know all the answers. And I'm pretty sure, like, there might be a couple of mistakes along the way, but I'm really devoted to making sure that your needs are met right now, because we're all in this together. And I care about you. So, you know, if you just say that, people are like, yeah, okay.
You even said one thing during the webinar that I just still think about now, is that, like, I feel like, and you didn't say it just like this, but this is how I translate it in my own head. I feel like COVID-19 is the great equalizer. And it's one of those things that, like, nobody knows what's next. Hour by hour is changing. So whatever guess you had yesterday, you probably had to go back and eat those words and say, you know, and say, maybe things have changed. You know, like, nobody knows when it's over. Nobody knows if it's next 24 hours or it's next 24 months. Everybody's kind of guessing. And so it does level the whole playing field.
100%. That is what I said. So you picked it up completely, like, right, like, nail on the head. The playing field is level. Yeah. And the people that are going to get ahead in this are people who take imperfect action now. They follow their gut instincts, and they're honestly, you gotta stop caring about what people think, to be honest. You have to be okay with disappointing some people, because you will always disappoint people when you're starting any kind of new project. It will never be perfect at version one. Nothing is perfect at version one. But if you can focus on staying curious, focus on asking the right questions, and being super obsessed with improving that experience, that's all that matters. And those are the people that are going to be ahead. And honestly, I think they're going to lead the next world. They're going to change the paradigm for their industry. They're going to shatter expectations for customers. And the people who can't catch up with that and be part of that narrative, unfortunately, they're going to go out of business. There is a company here in Canada. It's one of the most popular retail chains for fitness. It's a gym. It's kind of like the Canadian 24-hour. They just went bankrupt. They laid off every single one of their employees overnight. They terminated them without any expectation or warning. Wow. And you're going to see a lot of companies are going to be reactive, and they won't know how to live inside of their customers' reality. So they send out messaging that's tone deaf. They sell really hard when people are the most price sensitive and price prohibitive that they've ever been in their lives. And they're going to lose the trust of their customers. So it's really important to just come from a place of service, of altruism, of togetherness, of we-ness. Forget trying to make profit right now. The most important thing is add service. If you can do that, you will make profit, because the two are interconnected and intertwined.
No, 100%. I mean, and you know, it's a place that I think a lot of us have spoke about, like, you know, from a, you know, high, you know, pie in the sky, like theory, we all believe this, but now it's time to really cash in right on it. So, thank you for that. Let's walk through the steps too. Cause I think everybody needs to hear this process. So first step, mediocre guesses, get out there, take some action.
Yeah. The next step is seek understanding. So more than what you're putting out in the world, what's more important is actually what you get back. So we've all done this. We create something, we put it out, and it's like crickets, like nothing, no conversation, nothing. And we're sitting here wondering, like, what happened? Did they get it? Is it good enough? Like, how do they feel? This is every digital marketer's nightmare. It's like sending an email campaign or a marketing campaign or social media posts and getting zero likes or get zero engagement. So what you want to do right now is start a conversation with people. A technique that I've been teaching in the webinar is to have a fast launch. So say you come up with an idea, you have this new idea. It could be a new offering. It could be a new way to position your business. It could be a new way to message and market your business. Well, write that up on a quick Facebook post or Instagram or whatever you're using, and outline exactly what it is that you want to share with people, and then ask for feedback. So you saw this example. I actually made a new example because my partner is a personal trainer and his industry has just been wiped out. Oh, so anyone crazy. Who's in fitness or dance or entertainment is just at a loss of what to do. So my example was this. So we have, hey guys, need your feedback. What do you think about this? It's an at-home gym membership. You handpick the equipment that you want. You could pick dumbbells, you could pick a kettlebell, you could pick yoga blocks, some grip bars to do pull-ups with, push-up bars. You pick the equipment. I'll either overnight ship it to you, or I will hand drop it off if you're in my city. And then I'll give you an assessment. I'll show you some exercises that you can do with that equipment. And then I'll show you how to do it on Zoom. And there you go. If you want to do it with your family, your partner, your kids, we can also create a custom program for you all, and you get a discount. What do you think? So that is a 5-minute Facebook post. You create that, you put it out there, you start a conversation. People might respond back and be like, ooh, I don't know, this sounds awful. I don't want to have equipment in my house. Or, oh, I don't really want a personal trainer. I can't afford it. Could you give me a lower price? At this point, I don't even know if that's a good idea or not. The idea here isn't to have the right idea, it's to get the right feedback. Mm-hmm. So then as people start giving me their comments, you can do this on LinkedIn too, if your customers are in B2B or in the corporate world. Then as people are writing their feedback, everybody loves to share their opinion, you ask deeper questions. Someone might say, I don't know. And then you go, oh, that's interesting. I noticed that you said, I don't know here. You literally repeat back to them what they said. And then you say, could you tell me a little bit more about that? This is a perfect question to engage them in storytelling. Then start to reveal more of their subconscious beliefs. Then they're starting to give you the idea of how something like this as a product offering could fit into their lives. And you have these back and forth conversations with people and you keep engaging them. Now what you do is you take all that information and you adjust the prototype of your idea. And this is something that I've actually helped other people do. I know someone right now who's in the process of launching this idea and has already gotten purchase orders from people in the city of Vancouver to launch this business. So they've got money in the bank, they've got demand, they're serving their clientele in a completely new and different way. There was there's no website. This is all like Facebook DMs.
Wow.
There's no Stripe account. There's no payment gateway. There's no domain that you have to buy at this point. Like later, yes, maybe when you can catch up with yourself because you're running so fast. But it was a conversation on Facebook. It was a back and forth with a conversation where you are really doing like the street style of entrepreneurship, not the stuff that you learn in in business school or when you get an MBA. Like, this is the stuff that you see in cities and countries where people are smart. Like, yeah. People are dealing with war or famine, and you go to the streets, like, you're in Ethiopia and you see people hustling out there, walking through the cars, selling whatever they have. Like, that is the essence of what I'm trying to teach, is to listen intently to what your customers want and then use your intuition to create something that could help solve their need, and then say, hey, so I have this thing. You said you wanted this. I came up with a couple of ideas. This is how much it would cost me to create this for you. Like, what do you think? And if they're like, oh, okay, no, you're like, oh, okay, that's really interesting. Like, tell me more. And if they say yes, then you have a purchase order. Now you collect that money and you go build out that idea. And if you do that with 3 or 4 or 5 people, you now have enough statistical confidence to know whether your idea is the right idea to pursue before you actually spend money developing it to launch in the market. I just hit this wall.
No. I mean, like, boom. I mean, like, honestly, because it's one of those things where zero excuses. As long as you still have a cell phone and internet access, you know, you don't need to worry about trying to find the perfect domain, you know, stock photos, build a website, even though you really did, like, show us how to build one pretty quick. but you don't have to do all that stuff. It's like, get out there. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people, get the feedback, right? I mean, I'm going to murder some guys with that later. I'm literally going to take this. I mean, I'm going to do it to myself first, but then I'm going to challenge the people in my circle. Like, there's no reason for us to wait, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Street style. I like it, man.
Do it street style. Do it quick. Do it dirty. Do it fast. And then later, what? You can make it polished. You mm-hmm. can take what I just shared with you. You can use Canva, which is a web tool that allows you to be your own graphic designer, and then create a pretty poster or a flyer or some type of visual document that you can send to your customers on an email list. Like, that is fine. But at the earliest stages, what you want to stop or what you want to avoid is being bottlenecked by yourself. Mm. You don't want to get in your own way. That is the hardest thing. It's like, how many hours am I going to spend talking about an idea? That totally frustrates me. You have a question for all of the guest speakers that come. It's like, what advice do you live by? What's your thing? Mine is stop talking about it, go do it. Because doing is the best form of thinking. Doing helps you learn. You can't understand your unknown unknowns until you do the thing. You learn from experience and then you figure it out through the process. We even have a saying when we coach corporate teams, if your team has not solved a problem in 10 minutes, they're not gonna figure it out in 10 hours. Because wow. There's just no amount of being smart that will help you figure something out if you're missing information that lives in the real world. So you just got to go build it. You got to build it. You got to test it. You got to iterate on it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. You're 100%. I mean, it's so easy to get lost in a lot of these Zoom webinars, and you get so much content right now because everyone's dumping it out. And there's a lot of great stuff out there. I mean, there's a lot of heavy hitting content. There's some stuff that is super timely. And what you're doing right now is killing. I mean, honestly, I want to give you hats off. I think this type of stuff that you're doing is phenomenal. It's needed. It's just like, it gets people out of this funk that I think you can get into so easily. And so doing is the best way. Doing is the best way that we can actually understand where we are in this space right now, in this moment of time that's like vertical, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
sorry. Going. Okay. I saw this, I saw a meme, or maybe it was do you call it a GIF or a GIF? I never know.
I always say GIF.
Okay. It's a GIF. Okay. I saw one of these things on the internet, and it was about shaming people for not taking action right now. They're like, you know what? If you don't come out of this COVID-19 pandemic with a side hustle, with a new skill or whatever, then you know what? It wasn't because you didn't have time. It was because you were lazy. And I saw that and I was like, okay. I mean, I kind of understand it. I also understand the other side, which is if you are feeling frustrated or unmotivated, lost, like you can't even find the motivation to get on your computer right now because you're depressed or scared or anxious, like your family members are maybe exposed to the virus or have the virus. I just want to say, I'm not here to tell you, pivot, go. Be aggressive, get that shit done, grind, because that is also not realistic for you. Mm-hmm. So I started talking about this from a language of let's move quick, let's take action. That was 2.5 weeks ago. Things have changed. I have completely changed the intro of my webinar because people are feeling different. You know what yesterday was? April 1st, yeah. April Fool's, but it was also the first day that people are paying rent.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And so how many people in the world right now can't afford rent?
Yep.
I'm a landlord. I know someone who can't afford rent, and I'm doing everything I can to help support them. And on the flip side, I'm a tenant too. And so just as you are doing your thing in the world and you're launching these products, like, be thoughtful about the conversation that you're having. You do want to take action, and I want you to take action. But I also am very thoughtful about how I'm saying that to you, because some people are going through the hardest 2 weeks that they've ever had in their lives. I know so many people right now that are in depression. Like, their depression has kicked back up. I know people who are calling to suicide hotlines for the very first time in their life. I know people who are facing addiction, using different coping mechanisms to try to figure out all of this trauma that we have today as a global society. So just want to send some love to you guys. Don't feel bad if you haven't taken action already, or if you actually did and it didn't work out the way that you thought. Just keep launching, keep pivoting, keep moving forward, because what happens is eventually you're going to reach this place that we've coined the Valley of Darkness. It's where you've tried enough things and you're like, oh, this is not working. Yeah. You might have experienced this because you're a podcast host. Like, some type of episode in maybe like 4 to 12 didn't work, and you're just like, mm-mm.
How about 4 to 50?
Yeah. But true. Then you get out and you're on 51. You're like, man, I got this. You're like, I'm Kobe Bryant. I got the excellence mentality. I'm going to come out of the gate. And you're flying in the world. And so you just need to try enough and get through that. It's a bell curve. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. Keep moving. That's it.
You know, that's a perfect way just for us to kind of wrap it up, because, you know, I really believe in that so much. And one of the things, me being a sales guy and guy that loves to challenge myself, push myself, I was a straight former personal trainer for like 8 years. So I love that idea, by the way, but it is perspective right now. It's not, I think this is a great time to figure out what's important to you, and it's, and give yourself grace for it to change. Like, it's cool if, like, hey, you were about, you know, doing all these great things in the world, mm-hmm. and now you're just about taking care of you and your dog and your kid or whatever. You know, I mean, like, it's all good for us to ebb and flow right now. And I think that needs to be spread across as well, because I see all those shaming posts, and I do like some of it. I can't lie. Yeah. I do like it, but it's also for me. It's not for everyone. And it wouldn't be for me when I was at episode 40 and I was trying to figure out what the hell to do with this podcast. Right. I mean, so, you know, I think that message of one step forward is the right tone to have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll also say this and wrap it up real quick, because I know you all have stuff to do. Everyone listening on the line right now, is life happens in seasons. It's cyclical. That is the essence of Mother Nature. So if you are going through a winter, know that you have to go through that winter. It is a time to relax. It's a time to do Netflix and chill. It's a time to be this, it's called being kapha. It's a disposition in Ayurveda. It is a style of being. It's like being real chill, mellow, earth energy, be grounded. You know, don't rush. Don't try to go anywhere you don't need to be. Because what happens is, once you get out of that and you come into spring, and Ayurveda, the next disposition is Vata, you're like brimming with ideas. You're so excited about new beginnings. You're the person who wants to go travel to this other country the next week and figure it out on the fly. Then what happens is you move again, you cycle, you go through another season, and the season that is next is called Pitta. It's that fire energy. It's that, I got to get shit done. I know where I'm walking with a purpose. I'm so full of energy. I can wake up early in the morning and get all of my tasks done for today, and I feel on fire. So if that's where you want to go, know that you have to go through that process first of calming, grounding, and then being revitalized and rebirthed. And if you just like trust, you'll be fine. You'll get there.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Yeah. Trust that you are exactly where you're meant to be right now.
Olivia, that is this is a really good episode, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to get this out. Matter of fact, I'm bumping it up towards the front. Like, I have a nice little, you know, inventory of like interviews that I've done, but I think this is the right way to kind of relaunch the actual Real Value Exchange. So you have to tell people how they can find you, and audience, you should really check out the webinar, especially if you're just looking for ideas, if you're just stuck. It's just a great conversation just to be a part of. And you got some cool exercises that you do. So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for that plug. You can sign up for the free webinar at prototypethinking.io/webinar. I'll also give Joe the link so he can add it into the show notes. And if you want to find me personally, you can find me on Instagram. It's not a professional page. It's Olivia M. Wong, but you will find all the things that I care about. I do a lot more than just, talk about prototyping. So there you go. Find us there. Sign up for the webinar.
You weren't on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
You're gonna be like, hey, LinkedIn's heavy. All right, keep going.
I am on LinkedIn, but when I meet people, I like to send them to more of my personal pages because I feel like you can feel who I am. It's a better energy showcase. But if you want to be LinkedIn friends, you can still find me on LinkedIn. It's just / Olivia M. Wong.
Yeah. Olivia, this has been phenomenal. You know what? Thank you for just being honest, keeping it real, helping us get through the whole seasons, and giving some real tactical advice. So thank you so much for being on the show.
It was such a blessing to be here. Thank you, Joe.
It's awesome. We're out. Dude, killed it, man.